I want to start by saying to us, please, anytime you come for a service, especially a service at New Breed Christian Community, pay attention to the Word of God. Listen for the fine details of the Word of God. Are you with me? They have the ability to change your life. It has been changing lives long before we came. Long before the generation came, it has been changing lives. And even in our 6 years of ministry in Port Harcourt, in Lagos, and now in Abuja, it has been changing lives. Amen. Amen. Pay attention. Let the Word of God enter you. Tell your neighbor, let the Word of God enter you. Because you see, as your pastor, I have a responsibility from God to feed you with the Word of God. Amongst many things that we're going to do or we do in a service, every time you come for a service, you ought to receive something from God's Word that reshapes your life. Are you with me? You ought to leave there a different person than you came. You ought to live better. You ought to live sharper. Are you with me? You ought to live fed. You ought to live robust. So, the church, yes, the church is a family. Yes, the church is a place of miracles. Yes, the church is a place of marriage and home counseling. But the church is also a school. Are you with me? The church is a school where you learn about Christ and the things of God. Please, are you with me? Are we together? Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 27 to 28. Acts 20, verse 27 to 28. For I have not shown to declare unto you all the counsel of God. You know, at the tribes meeting yesterday, as I was looking at the teachings that we have done in this month of June, which we titled Life in the Spirit, at a point I paused. I said, do these people even listen to this thing? Do they really take our time to listen and pay attention? He says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the whole counsel of God. I can put it to you, if you take the things we are teaching, your life, I'm telling you, your life will change. I'm telling you. I don't think there's any week for the past 6 years that comes and goes and we don't get calls from different parts of the country or outside the country that, sir, this teaching is doing us something. Praise the Lord. And it's not because, of course, by the grace of God, I'm a great man of God, whether you agree or not. And it's not just because of that. It is also because the Word of God itself is potent. Are you with me? The Word of God is potent. He said, I've not shown to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now, jump to verse 32. Jump to verse 32. 1, 2, 3, go. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Can you read this? 1, 2, 3, go. That's not the voices of all these people. This mighty army like this. Let me hear your voices. 1, 2, 3, go. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Glory! So it says it will first of all build you up and then give you an inheritance. In the name of Jesus, you come into your inheritance. In the name of Jesus, you come into your inheritance. In the name of Jesus, you come into your inheritance. And so, in the month of June, we've been talking about life in the Spirit. And so, we began on the first Sunday in the month of June how that the same Holy Spirit in the Bible, the same Holy Spirit in creation, is the same Holy Spirit in us. We called it this same Spirit. Were you blessed by that teaching? Then we talked about being mingled with the Holy Spirit. Then from there, we started talking about speaking in tongues. What the Bible has to say about speaking in tongues. And then we began to answer more questions on speaking in tongues. And then last week, were you blessed last week? We're talking about how to flow with the Holy Spirit, and we called it tandem, how to be in tandem with the Holy Spirit. But there was such a move of God during our worship session, we couldn't teach so much. But we talked about having a hunger for God, right? Yes, sir. Jesus Christ. We talked about having hunger for the Lord, right? Yes. Then we talked about the importance of spiritual sounds, right? Yes. The importance of sound. And then on Thursday, we even went deeper to talk about the things we couldn't talk about on Sunday. We talked about the character of the Spirit. That if you are going to flow with the Holy Spirit, you need to understand His character. His character. And we said that the character of the Spirit is found in the Bible. Because the Bible was uttered by the Spirit. Please, are you with me? The Bible was uttered by the Holy Spirit. And so, you need to open the Bible and read the Bible. You need to begin to cultivate that relationship with the Bible, with the written word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, for instance, the Bible says in Galatians 5 from verse 22, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, meekness, gentleness. It means that if the Holy Ghost is at work in your life, it will produce those fruits. However, it also means that if your life does not exemplify those fruits, you can hinder the work of the Spirit. Let me give you a good example. Have you ever, some people may not be able to relate to this because maybe they are either not born again or they have decided that their heart to be very strong. Have you ever had a quarrel with somebody before? Eh? You shouted at the person in such a way that you gave the person hurt, and then you wanted to pray and you were struggling. Has that happened before? You finish shouting. You are very stupid. You are very something they worry you for. You need grace. Then as you wanted to pray, you felt like you were struggling. Okay. In Jesus' name. You felt like it was difficult to go on with the prayer. I know some people, they have so trained themselves to ignore that one and keep on praying. Oh God, kill my enemies. You know why there was that struggle? Because the Holy Ghost and strife do not work together. Are you getting me? Or some of you have had this scenario where someone was trying to make you angry and you felt like an invisible hand or an invisible force was trying to tell you, just calm down. Don't lose it. Just calm down. Just calm down. You see, that's the work of the Spirit trying to restrain you from the work of the flesh. And if you yield to the flesh, you lose the Spirit. When I mean you lose the Spirit, you don't lose His person, but you lose His work. Praise the Lord. And that's very important. I have to teach you. You know, they said, we are declaring the whole counsel of God. And after that, we talked about the importance of spiritual sensitivity. How that when you get a sensing in your spirit, you pay attention to it. That's one of the ways to flow with the Holy Spirit. You are talking with somebody. You are gisting. Two of you are gisting. And while the gist is becoming so interesting and so sweet, you can feel God telling you, you have talked too much. Who knows what I'm talking about? God is telling you, you have talked too much. Leave this place and go and do something else. But no! You add curry, Maggi, fried fish, lie on top. This gist must continue. And when you leave that place, you just feel like you offended somebody. Who has that happened to you before? Yes, see, let me tell you something. If this kind of experiences don't happen to a person, it's either the person is not born again or the person has trained himself to quench the work of the Spirit in his life. This is serious. Please, are you with me? Spiritual sensitivity. And let me show you something. I will even take this opportunity to warn us. Please, in your use of Bible translations, don't throw away your King James. Did you hear what I said? Yes, sir. In your use of biblical translations, don't throw away your King James. I want to show you something right now. Look at Acts chapter 18 from verse 5. Acts chapter 18 from verse 5. Everybody read with me. The Bible says, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Put it in NIV or NLT. Let's do NLT first. Put it in NLT. NLT. He says, and after Silas and Paul came down from Macedonia, Paul spent all his time preaching the word. He testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. Is that what the previous verse was, the previous book version we read was saying? Go back to King James. Go back to King James. King James says, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit. That's a very important detail there. Please, are you with me? Hey, if your neighbor is sleeping, wake them up now. That's a very important detail. Paul was pressed in the spirit. Something happened to Paul in the realm of the spirit. Now, look at what NLT is saying. Now, I'm not trying to give them bad PR, but I'm just trying to warn you that in your use of translations, don't throw away your King James. He says, NLT is saying, Paul spent all his time preaching the word. He didn't talk about Paul being pressed in the spirit. What happened to that detail there? Because you see, the Bible is a sacred book. And the things the Bible speaks about is talking about the realm of God. Please, are you with me? He's talking about the things that happen in the realm of God. And why is that detail important? That Paul was pressed in the spirit, because many times you are also pressed in the spirit. You know, every time I teach about this, I remember a story my wife shared with me. How that a friend of hers, her mother, one day she slept and had a dream. And in the dream, one of her friends that sells ladies' innerwear came to visit her. And as she brought her, is it bail they call it, right? Or what they, is it okrika or bail or what is? She brought her goods. He said, before I go to market, I said, make her just branch your house. Let me just branch and check on you. In the dream, she took a bra to wear, and something like a scorpion came out of the bra and entered her breast. Listen to me. She woke up from that dream. I was like, which kind of dream will I get, safe? I rebuke it in Jesus' name. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. That same day, her friend that sells bail came to her house just the same way she had the dream. Came to her house. She said, I haven't seen you for a dream, She said, I brought some things. Test it. When she was about to test it, a part of her was telling her, it's not what happened. She was like, you know me. That lady wore that bra and became sick. Started going from hospital to hospital. It was, nobody knew what really happened until after they went to this first or third hospital. She now said, I even had a dream like this. So by the time she narrated the dream, when I heard it, I said, that's a demonic spirit there now. They will not find anything. Painful. I never got to even meet the lady. We will cast out that thing. That's a demonic spirit there. I've gone to, even when they call breast cancer, there are many times it's not even breast cancer. I've gone to, let me not say some things. Let me stop. Paul was pressed in the spirit. Maybe you wanted to go for a journey. You were excited about the trip. All of a sudden on that day, it's as if your excitement just dies. That's not something to ignore. Are you with me? He was pressed in the spirit. Something happened in the spirit. If you read Acts chapter 27 from verse 10, you will see something similar too. Paul wanted to travel, or they wanted to travel, and Paul was part of that ship. See why I say be careful of these translations. Use King James and see. NLT says, I believe there is trouble ahead if we go. That's not what the King James says. Go to what King James says. King James says, and he said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage, that means there was something happening in his spirit. I perceive. As a Christian, people say, I cannot sense what God is saying. I cannot sense. You know, God has been talking to you. It's just that people don't pay attention. They are too carried away. And we talked about that on Thursday. It's called dullness of heart. One of the things that help you sharpen your spirit out of dullness is fasting. If you eat 365 days every day, Monday to Sunday, I am telling you, you will not hear anything. you will not perceive anything. In fact, even when you perceive it sometimes, it will be far. Have you not heard people say things like, I was in the dream, and something was chasing me, and I was trying to say, Jesus. It be like say my voice now won't come out. Have you heard that ever? It's like somebody was pressing me. I wanted to shout, then I now shouted, Jesus! Many times it is that the Bible says if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You may look buff physically, but in the spirit, there is no such strength. It's not there. So when we're able to pray, when we're able to worship, all the things we talk about, amongst the many things it does, it impacts strength into your spirit. Say after me, I'm strengthened today. Glory. We talked about spiritual sensitivity. And then we talked about sacrifices. I've spent too much time on trying to round up all of that. However, there is one more thing I believe that if we don't talk about, we have not done justice to the subject of flowing with the Holy Ghost. It is called prayer. Say after me, prayer. Say it again, prayer. Oh. If we've not talked about it, we've not done justice to that subject. And before I even go into it, I want to say something. Currently, there is something happening in the realm of the spirit. There is something happening in the realm of the spirit. God has been showing me that not just even for our church, but for the body of Christ and even for the world, it's a new season where he wants to promote people. That there are some new names that needs to be released. That God wants to push people into new levels of greatness. Let me tell you something. You may think you don't agree with what I'm saying. Oh, what is Pastor saying doesn't concern me. You know that not every season in your life is the same. All of you know. Not everything in your life is the same. Those of our brethren in law school, the day when you are writing an exam is not the same day as when you don't have any exam. The period when you are reading for your exam, are you with me? That season can determine the next 1 or 2 years of your life. Are you with me? Yes, you know that. The season when you are doing your final year project and you are doing your final year thesis is not the same thing when you are just in 100 level chilling. If you have a carryover in 100 level, you can just do it in the next year and it's fine. If you have a carryover in final year, it used to hit differently. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's a way it used to hit somebody. In the same way, in every season of your life, not all seasons are the same, spiritually too. January is not the same thing as this June. Last year, June is not the same thing as this year, June. God is showing me that there is a prophetic window. You know, those of you who have not been following the Engaging God, on Saturday, while I was leading the prayer, I've never had that kind of vision before, never. We're worshiping and praying, and while we're worshiping and praying, I saw myself in the sky, and I saw a door open. That's when I started saying, rain of open doors, rain of open doors. I saw a door open. Please, from now to the end of July, don't play. Oh. In fact, let me tell you how I feel. It looks like the door is almost closing. Let me read something to you in the Bible so that you don't think pastor is just being spiritually. Which kind of church I go to today, sir? What kind of spooky pastor is this? Let me read something from the Bible to you. 2 Kings chapter 13 from verse 14. 2 Kings 13 from verse 14. The Bible says, now Elisha was falling sick of a sickness whereof he died. So Elisha was going. The prophet was about to die. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bows and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. Verse 16, can you read with me? And he said to the king of Israel, put thy hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. Verse 17, and he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it, And Elijah said, please, can you read it on with me? Then Elijah said, shoot! And he shot. He says, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. I thought you would say amen. Amen. Verse 18. And he said, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. Verse 19, read on. And the man of God was wroth with him, or the man of God was angry with him. Verse 19, right? He says, thou should have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it, whereas thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Have you ever heard this thing they call near miracle syndrome? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Have you heard what is called near miracle syndrome? Usually, God is opening a season, but that time, the people are careless. The contract has not been fully signed. They say, you see, the contract don't land. Though. Go and pray. Go and fast and pray. You are toddling everybody. Go and fast and pray. You are talking up and down. After a while, before you know what's happened, bah, it's gone. He said, you would have smited, you would have struck the ground many times. It was a prophetic window. I am telling you, there is a prophetic window over our lives right now. Many of you, God is showing me. Don't look at yourself like you are so young, or you are too old. There is a prophetic window of greatness coming for you right now. And that's why I'm doing this teaching, so that you know how to take advantage of it. Say after me, prayer. Now, even if you don't understand all the things we'll be talking about, the Holy Ghost, if you understand this one, you would have understood at least 45% of walking with the Holy Ghost. Do you hear what I just said? If you embrace this one, 45% of flowing with the Holy Ghost has entered your life. And if you check the Bible, you cannot claim to have the Holy Ghost without being a person of prayer. You can't. Check the Bible. When the Holy Ghost came in the book of Acts, chapter 2, the first advent of the church and the Holy Ghost, what were they doing when the Holy Ghost came? Praying. That was the first thing we see. Before the Holy Ghost came, they were praying. When the Holy Ghost came, it made them pray better. So how can you claim to have the Holy Ghost and you don't have that thing that drives you to pray? This is important. In fact, I believe if you make yourself a person of prayer, the Holy Ghost will be attracted to you. Yes, sir. He'll be pulled to you. Let me give an example you can relate with. Have you ever been looking for something in your house before? Maybe your wallet or your purse or a document, and you misplaced it. And you checked everywhere you knew mentally and you couldn't find it. Then you said, Lord, please just help me. Holy Spirit, help me find this thing. And you discovered it was just in your front. Inside one drawer somewhere. Has that happened before? Yes, sir. So why didn't the Holy Ghost show you before? Why did he wait for you to pray? It seems like prayer is an activator of his work. Without prayer, you cannot really activate the work of the Spirit. Are you with me? Of course, there are things that he does not need your prayer to do. But there are also many other things that you need to pray. Can you tell your neighbor you need to pray? You know, somebody told me one time, said, Pastor, you people are spiritual people now. You people are the ones that have been. I've known you for a long time. You people are the ones that like to carry church on your head. That's why you people pray too much. To me, I don't pray too much. Oh. I just looked at him. I said, see, I am not praying because I want to look spiritual. I need to pray. Let me tell you, some of you, your problem is not that you lack consistency. Your problem is not that you are not serious with God. You are serious with God. Your problem is not that you don't care about spiritual things. You care. The issue is that you don't care as much as you ought to care. You have not known what is at stake. You don't know what is at stake. People just think, you know, when you look at prayer and spiritual things, they think it's like when you go to eat food. Okay, I'll take rice, fried plantain. No, I will not take coleslaw. I'll take chicken. I will not take. They think it's something that you can just have. You have options. See, when your eyes open to the fact that you don't have options, if you are not holding on to God, you are finished. Prayerlessness is a sign that you have another plan. You have another hope.
When you reach the place, you think you cannot pray. Don't worry. Reach the place where only God, if God does not show up now, if God does not show up now, that day he will pray. You will find out that you are a prayer warrior. You just don't know. Somebody was discussing with me one time, years ago. He said, "Pastor, I'm struggling to pray." I said, "Did you do midnight call?" I said, "Yes, now." "Ah, you did midnight call. 12:30 to 4:30. You and I, your babe." He said, "Ah, we run now. You talk with a lady like this on the phone. Battery will die. You charge it. You know that battery that you press like this? Put the battery that is showing green lights like this. You will charge it, you will come back, and you will start again." I said, "Did you do that?" He said, "Yes." "Ah, that I did it now very well. Midnight call, I did it." I said, "You are a prayer warrior, you just don't know. You stayed awake for 4 hours. You were talking to woman. Ah, you can talk to God." You can talk to God, I assure you. When you reach the point where you know this thing is valuable, I want to also say this. This kind of prayer that activates the Holy Ghost must be deep, sincere, and passionate. Say after me, deep, sincere, and passionate. Say after me, deep, sincere, and passionate. If you don't understand what prayer is like, you will begin to criticize people unnecessarily. That's why there are some things I don't like putting online, because people may not understand. You know, one day, somebody put a video online, and they showed a guy doing like this. Ah, kata. And somebody like, what is this? Is this what Christ taught us? The lady was angry that this is not how to pray. That the real prayer is the prayer that they do in the Catholic Church. We just say it silently. We do like this. We do like this. What's this? This is rubbish. I said, see, I'm not saying silent prayers don't work, and I'm not trying to downplay the prayer of Catholic Church. Of course, there are times where solemn prayers are important. Are you with me? I said, he gets where you go rich. That's the prayer that works. The Bible says that Jesus prayed until his blood was like, his sweat was like drop. Do you understand? Okay, what was he doing that made his sweat to become like blood? He's wanting to say, I want to follow Jesus. Are you really following Jesus? Read the Bible. You know how Jesus was. Just imagine somebody was sweating and you took it and it was like blood. Actually, that's a medical situation. It actually happens where a person's pores expand and blood can come out through the sweat pores out of intense pressure. So you think he was just, "Dear Jesus, dear God, Sky Daddy, I know you go run out for me. Norms, you know we're G's. Don't worry. When your eyes open to see the demons you are dealing with." This is why, of all the names of the Holy Ghost to be acquainted with, one of the names you must embrace is that he is the spirit of prayer. Say after me, the Holy Ghost is the spirit of prayer. If you read Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "I will pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication." Supplication is another word for prayer. So, it's the spirit of grace and prayer. Romans 8, verse 26 says, "The spirit himself, or itself, maketh intercession." So, that's the spirit is a praying spirit. The Holy Ghost is a praying spirit. I want to, see, what I'm trying to do, I want to launch you into something. Something that if you enter, the disciples learnt it by mistake. They learnt it when Peter was arrested. In their front, they killed James. When they killed James and they saw, "Ha, God is still God. James died." Ah, no, 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 no. There is a way you'll be seeing your life going. You have to tell yourself, it's time for that type of prayer. What the old people used to call our Lord Aladura. You know what Aladura means, right? What does that mean? Person of prayer. When they, you know, they're going to like this. It's not about the shaking of the head, though, but there is a way your spirit will be boiling, your head must move. The spirit of prayer. If you don't let
this. There are many flows of the Holy Ghost you will not have. One of our dear sisters was sharing with me her business, all of a sudden that she used to make a lot of money, just crashed. She was giving me an update. You know, the Holy Ghost is an interesting teacher. So she said, she was used to getting jobs. Every time she would get jobs, last, money will not drop below 200K. Money will show. But in her very eyes, March came, left, nothing. April came, nothing. May came, nothing. From having so much money, reduced to the point where she had to start borrowing, begging and asking for help. Please, can you just sort me out? He says, it's me. I'm the one that used to, any smart thing, just wire them 50K. Don't wire them 10. What is going on? Said one day in the night, she was sleeping and something came and pulled her up and said, wake up. She said she just woke up. It was 3 a.m. and began to roar. Rakapata kapa. He said she had a pull within her to begin to shout and pray. She said she prayed and she even thought that the whole neighborhood will come after her. By morning, somebody just said, please, it's been long I reached out to you. Please, are you ready to do this business? She was like, what is happening? And since then, things changed. Well, I want us to pray, so I'll be fast with some of the things I'm saying. And in the light of what God is doing right now, I will also emphasize that. What does the spirit of prayer achieve? Number one, it achieves divine intimacy with God. I've been saying this and I will repeat it again. Intimacy with God. You can know about God by hearing sermons and reading books, but you can only know God by intimacy. You can only know God by prayer. Listen, there is a kind of knowledge you need to get from God that you cannot come by just being on the surface. I'm not saying you cannot know about God by teaching, no, but that teaching that will get you to know God, it has to go deep into your spirit. Are you with me? Ben Hinn calls it knowing Christ by prevailing prayer. More than 15 years ago, I remember listening to that sermon. That was a sermon that made me pray like something was wrong with me. He says, knowing Christ by prevailing prayer, persistent prayer. You pray to the point where it's as though you have been so fused with Christ. It's called epignosis. The knowledge in which the knowledge knows you. For instance, when we tell people that God spoke to me, when we say God spoke to me, sometimes some people don't really understand what that is. You know why? They've never really had that kind of intimacy with God. Remember I told you on Wednesday that there is a way you will use your phone. If your phone is charging somewhere, you can hear the sound from your phone and know whether it's Facebook or Instagram. And you know whether you will hear a sound. Everybody will think it's normal. You will just hear a sound from your phone and say, no, it's text message. No, it's Instagram. No, it's WhatsApp. What is happening? Did you consciously try to learn it? No! What happened was that you have used the phone so much, you have interacted with the phone so much that your senses have been recalibrated to understand the phone even though you are not with it. In the same way, you can spend time with God, you can engage the Lord so much that I can be standing here and hear the Lord talk to me. That was why the Bible says that Eli perceived that God had called the child. Eli had stayed around the temple and he had heard God for a long time. Some of you know your parents' walking step. If your parents are coming, you say, it's mommy that is coming. There's a way, you say, it's daddy. No, it's daddy. You say, somebody say, how do you know? You say, I'm telling you now, you'll see. And truly, it will be daddy that will show. Some of you know your father's horn. On the road, you can be walking, you all hear a horn. Say, that sounds like daddy's horn. And more often than not, you will not be wrong. Because you have known it so much. You have stayed with it. In the same way, there is a kind of intimacy with God that produces knowledge. Please, are you with me? And guess what? You know, like I've been saying throughout this month, implicitly, sometimes you are chasing all the things that are not important except the one that is important. You want to connect, you know, in our generation, people use... they do what they call networking. I believe in networking. But sometimes you network more than you need to connect to God. You can be carried away. You want to meet this person. You want to meet that person. See, if I just have this, an audience with this person. If I can just have an audience with this person. When God has been knocking on your door since for an audience with you. If this guy can just help me, Abuja connection. If this person can just, whereas God is knocking at your door. Say, I'm going to give that girl space. And she doesn't value my friendship. God has been knocking for your friendship since. I'm going to give that guy space. Eh? It's like I'm bothering him. Am I pestering him? See, there is somebody that can never get tired of your knocking. There is somebody that does not get tired of you, does not get bored of you. Are you with me? Even if you talk to him from now till tomorrow, he does not get tired. He will tell you, keep on talking. In fact, your discussion with him will be the most productive because after a while, your discussions with him will save your life. Yes, it will save your family. Yes, it will save your future. Yes, but no, you're angry. Only two likes. Person's face. You don't even like my post here. Why don't they like person post? You're angry. You're looking for social recommendation and validation everywhere apart from God. The Bible says in Acts 13 verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. That means there are things that only those who minister to the Lord will hear. There are things that only those who minister to the Lord will hear. That's why the devil will try his best to ensure that spirituality is boring for you. He will try and make sure that every other thing will be exciting. The day you want to pray like this, 5 minutes, is like you want to die. You carry your Bible like this. Sleep. But let me tell you, hold that thing very well. Ensure. Are you with me? Number two, what does the spirit of prayer do in us? Spiritual edification. Spiritual edification. Luke chapter 9, verse 29. The Bible says, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. And his raiment was white and glistering. And as he prayed. So, God gave them a privilege of seeing what happens in the spirit when we pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed. It was altered. Let me tell you something. I know that this teaching may sound strong. I know it may not sound like the conventional things you hear. I know it may sound, this pastor, this word is very strong. I know. But I've made up my mind that I want to give God people bones that they'll be strong. Yes, sir. Let me tell you something. The real thing that grows your spiritual life is revelation. And what I mean by revelation, it means God exposing himself to you. Anytime God exposes himself to a man, that man grows. Yes, for instance, have you ever wondered how Moses wrote all the books? Moses wrote from when there was creation till Exodus, till how he was born. You don't understand. Moses wrote. People don't realize that it is Moses that wrote the book of Exodus. Moses wrote how they put him in a basket. Moses wrote, even if he can write the side of his mother, how will he write the side of Pharaoh's daughter? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Moses wrote everything. You know what happened? It was when God told him, stay in that rock, I will pass by thee. As Moses peeped into God, revelation beamed into him. There is a kind of growth that happens only when God exposes himself to you. This is why I don't understand how a person will be a prayer warrior and be a person that walks in hatred. It's not possible. If you are really being exposed to God, so many things will be dying out of you. You won't even know. You won't even know. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6, it says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness had shined in our hearts. Glory! Look at this. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness had shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What is he saying here? He's saying that when God beams upon a man, he gives you knowledge. When God beams upon a man, when the light of God shines on a man, you begin to know things beyond ways you can even explain. He says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness had shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See, there is a way you spend time with God there. That kind of knowledge is called ginosko, revelation knowledge. A time will come, you will just know, I'm not supposed to marry this guy. No. They say, why are you saying no? I say, I cannot explain. No. No. I'm not supposed to do that. You know, no. We cannot continue this. No. I'm not supposed to do this. I'm not supposed to go there. I'm supposed to go there. I have to go there. I must be there. You know what is happening to you? Revelation knowledge has beamed into you. You know exactly what you should be doing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it comes in that place of prayer where you are. You are staying with God. Look at Galatians 4 verse 19. It says, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you. There is a kind of transformation into Christ that only comes by travail. My little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So Paul was praying for the church in Galatians 4 19. I'm praying for you that Christ be formed in you. If somebody can travail for you and Christ be formed in you, how much more when you travail for yourself? How much more when you travail on your own? I'm trying my best to teach before we pray. And finally for today, what does the spirit of prayer do in you? Supernatural preparation. Say after me, supernatural preparation. Say it again, supernatural preparation. You know, I've been talking about this window. In fact, because of that, our next month's teaching is Thoroughly Furnished, the School of Greatness. I want to talk about greatness. How do people journey from nothing into greatness? Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 23 to 26. Give me NLT first. So they are not completely bad. But shall I have your King James, your authorized King James, or your new King James at the other side? He says, and we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full right as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. Amen. Look at verse 24. Everybody, let's read verse 24 together. 1, 2, 3, go. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. Verse 25. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. Please, are you with me? I want to show you something. Please, are you with me? But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. Everybody, verse 26. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Now, what's he saying here? If you read this in King James, King James says, go to verse 26, Romans 8, verse 26 in King James. King James says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, better put himself, the Spirit is a person, the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us. Some translation says, through us, with groanings. Let me explain. He's telling you that there are things in your future that you don't know. There are things that will happen next tomorrow that you don't know. There are opportunities that will happen to you in the future that you don't know about. But the Holy Ghost can begin to prepare you for them by stirring you up to pray with groanings. Are you with me? Let me tell you something. If you don't have such experience, what I want to say may sound, what I want to say may sound tough. If you don't have such experience where regularly you have a pool, pray. You don't know what they are praying about, but you are ceased to pray. You'll be having too many negative emergencies. You'll be saying, I don't know what even happened. Robbers just came. I don't even know. Why they just scammed me. No. If you don't have such experiences where the Holy Ghost can prepare you for the future, you are doing yourself a great disservice. Let me show you something. In fact, sometimes the answer of the things you have been praying for, or the things you are trusting God for, it will be in your front. But if the Holy Ghost has not prepared you like this, you'll be missing it. Let me show you. God, I know it's strong, but you will get it in Jesus' name. Because I want to release you to pray. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 29. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. Please, can you read with me? 1, 2, 3, go. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. So he was a man of prayer. He was devout. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Verse 26, read with me. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. King James says, before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Are you with me? Verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the prince did brought in the child Jesus to do him after the custom of the law. So now, only God knows where this man was in Israel. Listen, there was a promise of God that he will see the Messiah before he dies. And now, he was not there when the Messiah was born. He was not there when Jesus was born. He was not there when they circumcised him. He was not there at the naming ceremony. But they wanted to just do the custom of the law by taking him to the temple. And as they were going there, the Bible says he came in by the Spirit. Only God knows, maybe he was soaking Gary that morning. And he just said, you know what, let me check the temple. let me just check the temple. Let me just check. And he got to the temple and the very thing he has been waiting for all his life was in front of him. He came in by the Spirit. Now, why was it possible for him to come in by the Spirit? The Bible says that he was a devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel. That means he had been praying and the Holy Ghost was preparing him. When the time was set, he took advantage of it. If you don't have this kind of experience where the Holy Ghost has been preparing you, preparing you, brooding over you, the day where God wants to do something mighty in your life, that day will look like every normal day. The sun will rise up normally. The sun will rise up normally. There will be no trumpet in your ear saying, my daughter, this is your day of change. The day will look normal. But if you have been prepared, just, who knows Econet? The OGs. I was listening to the MD of Econet years ago, Mr. Strife Masiyiwa. He's a Christian. He said when the Great Depression, the economic meltdown was going to hit in 2008, in 2007, that one day in his office, he had a strong pull to go somewhere and lock himself. So he went somewhere, locked himself, and prayed in tongues for 24 hours. And when he was done with the prayer, he got some instructions. The Lord told him, convert all your assets to gold now. Convert all your money to gold immediately. So he went, Goldman Sachs, he said he had accounts with Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan. He pulled everything out and converted everything to weights of gold and locked them up. When the Great Depression hit in 2008, his friends called him and said, how did you know? Because all of their investments in all those companies, because of the Great Depression and the meltdown, they lost almost everything. You can imagine somebody having 50 billion, then reduced to 2. Even though you're still a billionaire, it will pay you. It will pay you. Are you with me? He said, how did you know? He said, are you sure you want to know?
I said, don't tell me it's a religious stuff. He said, are you sure you want to know?
When you hear a Christian, you entered a car that had an accident and died, what was the Holy Ghost doing with you? Or what were you doing with the Holy Ghost? Everybody was in the place where they were kidnapped. You were there too. Hey! The Holy Ghost should have moved you out by the Spirit.
Oh my God.
You were there too. The problem is the believer. How many of them have been trained? They'll say, I was feeling something. Something told me, oh. Something told me, oh.
Let me give you two examples more. Look at Mark chapter 11. Okay, before Mark 11, two examples more. So let's do Luke 2. Luke chapter 2, from verse 36. This was an scenario. And there was one Anna. Luke 2, verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 80 years. So she was a widow of 80 years old. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with prayers and fastings night and day. Verse 38. And she coming in at that instant. Please, read from verse 37. Verse 37. And she was a widow of about 84 years. So she was 84 years. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers, night and day. Verse 38. And she, everybody read it. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. And she, coming in at that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So, she came into the same way Simeon came in and left. She came in at that instant. She came in at that instant. You know, this thing happened so much in my life in the university that one day there was I think we had an issue with our lecturer, and we're told that we're not going to write a particular exam, and we're all going to carry over the exam. One guy looked at me there and said, if you are here, I know I'm safe. He said, David, if you are here with us, we're all day this group. We're not going to write this exam. I know, say, something will happen. And true to it, something happened. When everybody had given up and went home, the man just came after 2 hours. He said, where are those unserious people who missed this one and so and so? You know what? I have a feeling in my heart. Come and take the paper and write. We're only two. All the others had left. It was the guy that said, if David is here, I'm safe. Because I remember that morning. What happened? Lecturer did not tell us that he's coming. There was an external lecturer. He just showed up in class, said he gave an announcement for us to have class. Nobody got the announcement. It was one, you know, those serious students that are always in the department. I just saw him and entered the class, wrote the test. And the man counted all the numbers of chairs in the class and said, any other person that was not around, you are going to fail my course. And I was praying that morning about it. The Lord told me, read and go. Read and go. Oh, you know, students will be happy. Hey, we are not writing the paper again. Oh, finally. Oh, we are not writing again. And the man said, we are not writing. The Lord told me, read and go. Overnight, the man changed his mind. He came in at that instant. As a Christian, no. Don't. There are some things that should not happen to you unawares. The Bible says in Mark chapter 1 from verse 11 to 12 that Jesus, the Holy Ghost, drove Jesus to go to the wilderness to pray and fast and to be tempted of the devil. People say, how can God bring temptation? The Bible says that the Lord does not lead us into temptation. No. God saw that there was temptation coming and took Jesus to prepare. When last were you somewhere and God just drove you to... No, I need to start reading this thing. I need to start reading this course. This thing, I need to prepare in this way. This thing is coming. Oh, God. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Supernatural preparation. You are doing a certain business. After a while, the Lord starts telling you, Find another business. Something is coming for this one. Find another business. Something is coming. He said, no, I must do this business. I must do this business. God is trying to prepare you for danger. What? They will just come. Something will happen. Everything is gone. Please, are you with me? As your pastor, there is nothing that happens to my car without my knowledge. I'm telling you. If my car is going to have a fault in 2 weeks' time, I've had a dream about it. It happens to me and my wife. My wife woke up one morning and said, love, that car, be careful of the steering. I had a dream. The Lord showed me. I said, you are in sync because I just checked it now. The steering is having a problem. Somebody else, just enter. We are
sorry to mourn the loss of our brother. He survived by
God forbid. People die nonsense deaths. Enter useless relationships. Sometimes useless marriages. A lady was telling me, big woman, no, not a small lady. She's about almost 60. Told me, said, if I knew what I knew, then I shouldn't have married the person I married. I said, ma, what happened? 2 weeks to the wedding, she had a dream. She saw herself crying. That, why did I get here? What did I get here? She was restless. Her mother was asking her. She's not a small woman. No. She was opening up. Her mother was asking her, Marie, now what is the problem? I said, see, I don't know. Eh? I don't know. She said, okay, calm down. Just don't worry. Just enter. Supernatural preparation. You need it in your life. Opportunities are coming. God forbid. You know, some people, they only hear about the opportunity when it has passed. Why? It's only when the opportunity has passed you will now see the link. Closes on the 13th of June. That's when you see apply with this link. Closed on. Why? Why can't the Holy Ghost orchestrate that somehow you are in the meeting? You say, ah, have you not seen the opportunity? Give me your letter. I have worked in this thing. See, I have worked in it so much. All the jobs I even got. The first one in the construction industry. The second one in the oil field. The same thing. I was passing a building in Port Harcourt. Ah, Jesus. I finished from school. Before I go to my youth service, I told God, I want to work somewhere. I was in a car. The car was moving. I saw a building. My spirit shook. I came down. Went inside. I said, I read mechanical engineering. I feel like I'm supposed to work here. The man looked at me and said, how did you know that we have a vacancy? I said, I couldn't say Holy Ghost so that he would not start saying this is a spooky human being. I said, I just felt like, say, you know what? Drop your number here. Come so and so day. I came on that Monday. Come and see the crowd. I think they picked only two engineers, me and somebody else. When I finished working there, the next one, that morning I was supposed to go for a meeting. I said, must I go? But I said, let me just go. I just went, not even because I wanted to get a job or something. Ran into the meeting, somebody that has known me many years ago. He said, David, where have you been? Don't you know that I've started an oil servicing company and I've been looking for smart people? Please, come to the office tomorrow. Come to my office. Please, I need to see you immediately. Went to the office. Started work that same day. I pray for you. As you engage yourself to pray from this moment, you step into a new level of spiritual edification. A new level of intimacy with God. And a new level of supernatural preparation. You are not taken by surprise. Jump on your feet. Please, if you can pray in the spirit, pray. You are not taken by surprise. Lord, let the spirit of prayer rest upon your people. Let it rest upon your people. Let it rest upon your people. You have gone to find your own strength. You need to be prepared. Even if you don't know tomorrow, you need to know the one that holds tomorrow.
Some of you, you are saying, God, what is your plan for my future? What is your plan for this business? Prepare right now. Some of you are saying, God, what about my health? Let me tell you, oh my God, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Put it on the screen. James chapter 5 verse 16 in Amplified. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Let the spirit of prayer rest upon you. Let it rest upon you. Let it rest upon you.